Oh my goodness. All of the fans never thought we would make another goddamn episode, and here we are. Not only is it an episode, it's a bonus episode on the Patreon for you beautiful, gorgeous supporters out there. I am your lovely
bonus.
I am your host, Decatur, and I am with my co-host, Steve Daly, and the super producer of the century, Peter Pants, and we have a special guest as well that goes by the name of Darth Absurdius,
and he's joining us with his special knowledge of both Rome and Star Wars. Take it away.
Introduce yourself.
Darth Absurdius.
Every single podcast until now is an enemy of the Republic. My name my name is Darth Absurdius. I go by Surd. No, I go by Absurdius, and
I'm gonna call you Surd for the rest of the episode.
Well, you're gonna call me Sir for the rest of your life. No, I'm here because, look, I'm a Sith like Palpatine, but he wanted ultimate power. I want ultimate absurdness, and that's what I'm here for, and that's what I'm going to bring to the podcast for your lovely, beautiful listeners all the way out in Cape Town, all the way out in Montana.
You're giving us a lot of credit. But
that's what a Sith does.
So the reason we have you on for this episode is we wanted to break down the politics of Star Wars Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith.
Right.
And we really have tried to come up with a theory as to how to relate it to modern times, because I don't know if you've seen, not only is it the end of the world, but it also looks like Tatooine outside right now.
Literally, the sky today, we're recording this on the, right in the middle of all these California wildfires. We're all the way out. All four of us are in Las Vegas, Nevada, 300 miles away from the fires. And I swear to God, the sun got progressively more and more orange today until the sun was literally, then it got to a deep red, and then it was completely blotted out. And today was supposed to be blue skies. This was straight up smoke. And you could smell burning wood outside from a fire 300 miles away.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Where there's smoke, there's fire. And I just want to say shout out to whoever in California just had to use explosives for the gender reveal party. I think we all know who you voted for and what color, what favorite color your hat is. So shout out. Good job.
I have a question. Do we know what the gender of the kid was?
I don't know, but I heard the reveal was a bombshell.
Hey, you know what? I bet that kid will have an explosive personality.
Hey. I was thinking about the kid. Imagine, like, when he's in high school, he's like, yeah, I'm the kid who burned down California.
I set the city on fire.
That's terrible. Oh, my bad. Sorry, everyone just wanted to know what was in my pants. By the way, it's a sex reveal party. Everyone calls it gender, but now we know there's a difference, everybody. So get your act together. So, of course, you know, we're looking at end times. You know, the sky is blotted out, like in the Book of Revelations in the Bible, and the, everything's on fire. There's a pandemic. There's people dying left and right. There's a government with secret police. Everything is shit. We have the rise of fascism, if you listen to our free podcast. Of course you would. That's why you're here. So
it'd be really amazing if people were signing up for our Patreon who have never heard an episode.
I would love that. That's what I was saying in the last one. Like, maybe people hate the format of our real podcast, but they love the bonus. And so what if we just went viral on this?
That would be incredible. Great. It'd be a lot less work.
Yeah, this is obviously more a loose structure. We have a very structured, although not scripted, we do have a structured podcast where we try to get through some specific information. This one, we're just going to have a bit more of a free form conversation on the fall. Well, we're talking about in general, of course, we're talking about the fall of republics and what happens and why does democracy die. But of course, the best example of that ever is the fall of the Galactic Republic, the one we're all familiar with, which of course culminated in Episode 3. We are not here to be apologists for the Episode 1, 2, and 3 trilogy. I don't think any, we're all here very serious Star Wars fans. And we all are offended by what happened in episodes 1, 2, and 3, to the franchise. But that said, the politics part of it is actually pretty cool, and the lore behind it is pretty cool. So there's a lot of parallels with episode 3 and, to modern times. But another parallel you can draw is to the fall of the Roman Republic. You can talk about the fall of German democracy and the rise of fascism. There's a lot of parallels you can draw. So we're going to talk about that. But as we just recently rewatched it, we realized there's some very direct parallels you can draw, not just with some characters in the movie, but also with different institutions. And how can you can compare that to modern United States? Now, we might have some hot takes in here that you strongly disagree with, especially if you're a Star Wars fan. So, you know, feel free to, if you disagree with anything we're saying,
go fuck yourselves.
Exactly. Write the email to wedontwantthisshit@fuckyourself.com. And we'll be sure to read it. Yeah. But our opinions are gold, so you don't need to have your own opinion. Just listen to us.
Anakin, Chancellor Palpatine is evil. From my point of view, the Jedi are evil. Well, then you are lost.
Just really quick overview of the plot as episode 3, just so you know why we're about to compare it. Of course, episode 3, skipping over a bunch of bullshit, just the politics side of it, is where we start to realize what was it actually? I mean, obviously he's Senator Palpatine, right? And so you start to realize that he had been playing both sides. What he did was he basically created chaos. What he did was he worked with the Trade Federation. If you're up on Star Wars, you know this already. But just to remind you, we are just learning now that Senator Palpatine had created this pact with the Trade Federation behind the scenes to convince them to go to war with Naboo and to basically create trouble. And then Naboo, of course, did the natural thing of going to the Republic and asking for help. And it caused this whole fucking situation that then Senator Palpatine was able to play the other side of it and say, hey, look, we have this war on our hands. We found out about all these, you know, did they find out about the clones by that point? But there's like all these things that started ramping up. It's not really important, the details, because it's all fiction. But they, you know, everything started to ramp up and chaos started to ensue. Palpatine was able to spin this massive conspiracy theory. We're going to talk about why.
Palpatine's kind of like Q.
Right. We're going to get into that in a second. But like Palpatine starts pitching this conspiracy theory on the Senate floor that, hey, there's been an attempt on my life because I'm trying to raise this issue. Right. And, you know, the Jedi are evil and they're behind all this shit. And there's just chaos in the galaxy right now. And there's this war. And basically, I need you, folks in the Senate to all give up basically democracy and just let me be dictator so I can handle this situation. Basically give me martial law and let me be in charge of it.
Right.
Like Dwight Schrute in The Office, like give me the emergency powers and I promise to return them when this crisis is over.
And then he shoots someone.
Yeah, exactly. And so that's kind of the plot. And of course, we know if you've seen episode 3, then what does the Senate do? They agree with him. And then Padme has this famous line, you know, something along the lines of this is how democracy dies, with thunderous applause.
So this is how liberty dies, with thunderous applause.
And then everyone's cheering for the fact that they just got rid of democracy and gave all the power to Palpatine. And then Palpatine has a battle, of course, famous battle with Yoda and then also with Mace Windu. And that causes him to look super ugly. And then he kind of reveals himself as just the ugliest fuck emperor of the first galactic empire. And then so there we are right now. We have a fucking fascist regime and war ensues, of course. And I mean, you can call it fascist or not. We don't need to wade into the details, but it's obviously an authoritarian empire.
Right.
Right. And it's really, you know, we should dive into that a little bit because I feel like people probably already have stuff to say. But what I want to do real quick is just we're going to talk about like how this relates to today, all the shit that you saw in episode 3, but also like what are the parallels we can draw of some of the characters, like who's who. So I'll just turn to Decatur because he already chimed in, but like you're saying that you think that there's a relationship between the conspiracies that Palpatine was advancing,
yeah,
even though he was behind them, and Q.
I was gonna say, I mean, I think that you can make the argument, I would say, if we're gonna say who plays Palpatine in real life Star Wars cosplay, right, I would say that
like who in our current society is Palpatine?
Right. Now you could make the argument that I'm going to give you three people. You could make the argument that Palpatine is Bannon. You could make the argument that
Steve Bannon of Breitbart.
Right. You could make the argument that Palpatine is Trump, which I didn't really think before, but when I just heard you speak right now and you talked about how Palpatine is like, "Oh, we got to keep me, you know, we got to keep everything safe, so just give me all the power.
Give me the power." Yeah.
And they all act like, "Oh, well, Palpatine wouldn't do that. He's just this, you know, XYZ type of fella." And that's kind of what we think about Trump.
Public servant trying to take care of everybody.
And we think like Trump's too stupid to really be a true dictator, right? Like he's not smart enough to have an evil plan, but maybe he does. Or the third option is
he is stupid.
No, I know, but I'm just saying. For all we know, Trump has a master plan. I highly doubt it, and it's 99.9% sure he doesn't. But there's that 0.1% that he's Palpatine, or there is the fact that he might be Vladimir Putin.
Oh, you left out your fourth. He also embodies the entirety of the QAnon conspiracy.
True,
right?
True, yeah.
Of trying to pitch this idea, QAnon conspiracy, for those uninitiated, please just give yourself a night off of politics and don't look this up. But eventually you should go look up QAnon if you're not already familiar. And right. It's this conspiracy theory. It's kind of a hub of all conspiracy theories in our country right now, like sweeping the nation, that's talking about like they believe that Trump is like our secret leader that's been recruited by the military to root out the deep state. I'm sure you've heard of by now, which is this theory that right wingers have that our government is being secretly manipulated by all these Democrats who they call the deep state, who they're like secretly running everything. And that this the government we think we elected is an illusion, and it's really them running everything. And they're all, and here's the kicker, pedophiles who eat children. So that's a whole fucking thing. But the point is, when Trump says he wants to drain the swamp, the QAnon people take that as a cue that, oh, he means to get rid of this deep state that's running everything. And so he's right. Actually our secret leader. And so when we talk about Palpatine maybe embodying that in the Star Wars franchise, he really is leaning into that same strategy of like, I'm going to stoke up these conspiracy theories to my own advantage to try to maintain power or give power to whoever I want to give it to. So,
And also, I think it is just once again hilarious that Trump wants to drain the swamp, and the only thing that's happening is boats are sinking to the bottom of the ocean. So, but
he is the swamp.
He's definitely the swamp. So yeah. So anyhow, I think the best argument is probably that Putin is Palpatine, and I am not like a huge Russiagate person by any means. I'll just say that now. I think most of the shit on Russia is bullshit, but there's clearly something, and it's weird that we don't fully know. But yes, it's definitely not like the there's no fucking piss tape, right? But like there's something weird.
Oh, I don't know about that. 1,000%, I don't know, man.
I would bet you $1 billion that I don't have.
You don't think that? What do you think Trump's upset? Yeah, right. Exactly. Great bet. What do you think Trump's obsession with Putin is? Is it just that he admires the authoritarianism?
I mean, he had business deals over in Russia before. I think it's more so it's stuff like that. It's not as, you know, fun of a true conspiracy theory as we think it is, for sure. And I mean, like he even
there's that, and there's also like the way Trump idolizes how Putin controls his country. Like, right. Trump sees that as so virtuous for a leader to be able to control your people in the way that Putin controls his people.
Right. Which is why he's bigged up Kim Jong-un as well.
Right. He borrows a lot of that rhetoric of this is how you assume power and diminish everybody else with these authoritarian tactics that centralize power around this one figurehead.
Right.
So I think how he idolizes Putin.
I definitely think there's that respect. Even China, he's real weird with, where you know he puts all these tariffs and all that stupid shit on that don't really do anything. But even then, you know, he's openly like, "Hey, China, if you guys can help me win," and like he has nothing bad to say really about Chinese leadership, right? Like it's not like Trump is out here really making sure they stop the genocide against the Uyghur Muslim population. Like he doesn't say shit like that. He just says they're beating us in trade.
Yeah.
And he has openly, called Kim Jong-un like, wow, his people love him, you know, shit like that. So I don't think it's like this whole thing where Trump is ruining the country of America all for a piss tape. I think it's just Trump's a narcissist and Putin is ex-KGB. He knows what he's doing. You know, he knows how to fucking play this dude. So I think that's what it is. Where
I mean, he knows Putin's helping him win the election. So why wouldn't he?
And that's why I think it's like Trump's more of an Anakin, whereas Putin's like a Palpatine because, you know, Anakin's he's naive.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, yeah. This is when we watched the episode, this is kind of what we were debating is like, yeah, who is Anakin in this case then? Because Anakin is obviously the catalyst of kind of the enforcement arm of things. The guy who's going to go do the dirty work for someone else's master plan. And there's a good argument to be made that in this scenario, right, like you just said, Anakin is actually Trump in our example here. And the real mastermind is someone like Putin or alternatively someone like Steve Bannon. And whoever is really like someone like that, some extreme white right winger authoritarian guy with like dreams of his country becoming kind of fascist emperor type thing. But I want to turn to Absurdius, Darth Absurdius, and I just want to ask, like, you've read a lot about the fall of the Roman Republic and you understand what happened there and why. Do you think that the story in episode 3 is realistic based on kind of historical precedent?
Yes, but before I answer your question, I kind of want to go into business for myself for a second. And I want to just kind of loop back to something that Decatur talked about. I am going to ask your question.
Oh, you want the smoke?
Where there's smoke, there's gender reveal, right? I really am going to answer your question, and I apologize. It's just something that he raised that was such a good point. Because he talked about it. He's like, well, you know, we've never seen it, or we have, you know, like historically when it actually happens, right? We saw it. We saw it in Austria, right? When, you know, Hitler went in, and it's exactly like what Padme said. This is how democracy dies. The Germans went in and they quickly like eliminated anyone in the Austrian government or press or anywhere in society that would disagree with them. And they wound up winning over the Austrian people with thunderous applause. You know what it almost feels like? It's like Palpatine made the Jedi the boogeyman, right? And it almost felt like to everyone else, he was saying, I'm going to leave you alone though. Don't worry. And that to me is very similar to Hitler saying like, okay, it's really just about the Jews. And then it almost in a way makes everyone else feel like, okay, well, he likes us though. And that's why they wanted to work with him. And they didn't understand that really he just hated everybody. And his ultimate plan.
Right. Which is kind of like, it's by the way, kind of like what Palpatine does with Count Dooku.
Yes.
It's very similar to like Hitler doing, talking with like, oh, look, no, it's just the Jews we're after. Like, well, you know, and I get that it's a little different.
Well, Count but Dooku then it's Count Dooku. I don't want to get too far off here. But Neville Chamberlain, you know, like. In a weird, but anyways, okay.
Yeah.
But my point is, it just kind of, it seems like people would rather just go along with it because they're worried that way they won't become the victims of it. And I think that's what we're seeing with Trump do. Look, he's like slowly expanding his base. First, it was Mexicans, then Muslims.
Expanding his list of enemies.
Exactly. And I think the layers of democracy actually fall pretty easily. And it doesn't happen overnight. It just kind of happens slowly, but over a period of time. Now, segueing to that, talking about, you know, Rome.
Yeah, like kind of my what I want you to address is like, I guess what we're all thinking in the United States right now, seeing like our democracy in peril, is, you know, of course we're talking about Star Wars. I want to talk about Rome too. Like, what did they do wrong, and was what happened for the Galactic Republic realistic in a real world example? Like, have we seen this before, and are we at risk as well? You know what I mean? Kind of multiple questions there. So, what do you think?
I think one of the problems, and this is why it's so scary, like the way our system's set up, is just my opinion, is that, you know, Rome started on a faulty premise. And when you start on a faulty premise, no matter how great it gets, at some point it's gonna crack, right? So, you know, we know like James Madison loved the Roman system of a republic as opposed to a direct democracy of the Greeks, you know? He liked the fact, he didn't trust like the common people. And he just didn't trust. Like,
is that the faulty premise you're referring
well,
to?
Well, yes. And so in Rome, it was like they just felt like, okay, we have a system here of patricians, plebeians, and the proletariat. And the proletariat are freedmen and foreigners and yada, yada. And the plebeians are Romans, but they're just poor people. And they're poor because they deserve to be poor, which kind
of
sounds like
the way
like
we
Ayn
structured
Rand.
The fact that we have two houses of government, like you said before, right? Two houses of the legislature. We're trying to separate power in certain ways, but we're also – what people don't realize is like separation of powers is a good thing, but one way that it's not good is that we try to separate power between the people and the aristocrats. Like, we want the aristocrats to have special representation in our government that the people don't get. And that's what the Senate does. That's what it happens in a million ways, but you know, that's a lot of, we were kind of flawed from the beginning, you know, a lot of good things about our constitution, but a lot of things like, Absurdius here is pointing out is that, you know, we kind of structured our government from the beginning to give special status to aristocrats. Of course, everyone knows, of course, famously at the beginning, if you're a landowner, you know, and you're not black, then you get to vote, which are two fundamentally terrible ways to do it. But now they, you know, they still have a lot of advantages. But anyway, to get, right. To go back to my question, though, is the based on the historical precedent you're talking about, obviously
we're close.
We're not there yet to your story about no. But what I'm saying is you haven't yet covered like why the Roman Republic fell and became an empire. But, you know, it did happen. And also Hitler advanced the end of democracy in Germany to become a dictator there in all but name. And he became the Fuhrer. And then, but you know what I'm saying is like, we have precedent for democracies failing right. many, many times. The Greek, obviously, Greek democracy eventually ended. So what, you know, what happened in episode 3 of Star Wars, is that realistic? And does, you know, what do you think about how the, I mean, I think they were basing it off the fall of the Roman Republic, right?
Or at least the fall of. To kind of like tie it all in together. I think what happens is there's some issue that's bothering the masses. At some point, that issue trumps, no pun intended, love of democracy, right? So like in Rome, it was, hey, the patricians just control everything no matter what we do, and now they're screwing us over. And then people get corrupt. So it went from like Romans collectively, even patrician and plebeian. Like there was some anecdote, I don't know if it's true or not, like when on election day, Romans would go into the forum, they would wear as little as possible, or like they would be able, you would be able to see them because, again, valor was a big thing, so they could show off their wounds. And they could show that like they went into the forum without any money and they came out without any money. But again, at one point when the soldiers would go out to fight and Rome started expanding, anytime a republic starts expanding, that's always a bad sign. When they started expanding, then those soldiers, their land got confiscated. So now corruption starts taking place. Like they were tired of the war which Palpatine engineered. And so what Augustus did was he actually became emperor, but he never actually called himself emperor. He just had himself called first citizen. But at that point, everyone knew he was emperor. And he did it slowly, right? Unlike Caesar, who just did it quickly. So he slowly...
So he pulled it off.
He pulled off, just like Palpatine, he slowly started buying senators. He slowly started getting rid of his political opponents. He slowly started getting people in place that supported him. And all of a sudden, people have 20, 30 years of peace. And they're like, we don't need democracy. Like, that's stupid. Like, they start thinking... Why do we ever need democracy? Things are great, you know? This system works. So that's what Palpatine did, is he engineered the war, and then he took advantage of it. Kind of like tying it, so episode 3 and then tying it now, Trump is engineering the civil crisis, intentionally or unintentionally, by, you know, I mean, the race riots, the divisive...
Stoking conflicts, yeah. Like, he's taking advantage of what I think is pre-existing, unlike episode 3... where he completely fabricated the entire thing yes. that Palpatine did.
Right.
Trump, and really, and like I think Decatur was saying, which is a good point, is like I don't give Trump enough credit to come up with any of this shit himself. But what I do think is that someone who is interested in seizing kind of an authoritarian opportunity is using Trump to stoke the current right. situation.
Well, and I think
right? they were waiting for a crisis.
Well, and I think that's like the exact thing of why Trump is more of an Anakin than a Palpatine, right? Is because Trump just has
exactly
he's just been programmed due to years of Fox News and whatever other dumb shit he's consuming that now he totally believes the lie. Whereas someone like a Putin or even a Steve Bannon, like they know what's up, you know, and they agree with what the end goal should be, but they know the real reason why they're bringing up this right wing propaganda shit.
Yeah, yeah, and like so, I think like what we're realizing, of course, you know, we just want to talk about episode 3. It's a cautionary tale. You know, we can look back at Rome and all the in Greece and all these things, and that's fine, but. Star Wars is a lot more fun. And when we're looking at the fall of democracy, I mean, the one we're probably all most familiar with is Star Wars Episode 3, right. actually, even more so than the real historical examples. But like, Star Wars Episode 3 is based on reality, which is why we had Darth Absurdius talking to us about that right now, about like what actually happened in Rome. And, you know, but that's exactly it, is like, you know, taking advantage of a crisis, right? Everyone's familiar with this. This shouldn't be news to anybody, but if it is, you know, that's why you're listening to us. And so anyway, taking advantage of a crisis to eliminate civil rights and civil liberties and any kind of like agency you might have in your government, that's the kind of warning sign, right? It's in the moment where you kind of want someone to take over as an authoritarian the most, which is when you need to be the most on guard for it. Right. And that's exactly what you saw in episode 3. And then, of course, like, I'm not saying this is actually historical, but, you know, you saw what happened as soon as they executed Order 66.
Oh, right? God. Like, what the fuck? Seriously, right? Just like, why? Why is that in there, man? They could have just talked about it. They don't have to say, what are we going to do now? And he's like, oh, my God.
Master Skywalker, there are too many of them. What are we going to do?
Yeah, of course they went and they killed all the younglings, so to speak. You know, Anakin went and killed all these kids that were like Jedi, and you know, and they went and they slaughtered all the Jedi, right? And that was the thing. And you know, you kind of see in an authoritarian regime, like, that is their first move. It's like, let's destroy our political opposition and make this a unitarian state, right?
Right.
Like,
we don't. That being said, in real life, they would have just tried to convert the kids.
Yeah, they would have put them in school,
right?
Yeah, like Trump wants to. Like, we need to teach our kids to love our country and to realize that Americans are defined as the people who came from Europe and they're white. So,
which is also scary because that's close. Exactly what Hitler and Mussolini did, for sure.
Yep. And that's actually literally what Trump said, by the way, at Mount Rushmore speech. He said that he wants people to like be proud of our American heritage. And then how he defined that was the people who came across the ocean and then sought their manifest destiny. Yeah. And like, he, of course, glossed over what that entailed, but of course what that entailed was slaughtering everyone who stood in their way, which is exactly what Order 66 was, and what, you know, Hitler did, and what every other authoritarian regime you've ever heard of did. Of course, the Soviet Union infamously killed the political opponents of the Bolshevik Party in mass murders, and like, that's just an authoritarian go-to, right? And so that, of course, is why I think people are on guard for authoritarian governments. It's like, no matter how much you want them, what it normally entails is a mass, like, fucking genocide or just mass murder of political opponents, right? And right now we see, like, really, really, really early warning signs in our country. Do I think there's going to be an Order 66 coming along? I don't know. I mean, I hope not. That
maybe.
Extreme.
I will say I don't see an Order 66 happening, mainly because all the kids are still home from COVID.
Or, you know, I mean, it depends which kids we're talking about, right? There's definitely kids in cages right now. So, you know, I don't know. That's, I don't know. So is Order 66 that far outside of the realm of possibility? I don't know.
Which, wait, by the way, shit was getting real fucking crazy. I just want to say, sorry to cut you off. I just want to say, I get that they couldn't have planned for all the fucking bullshit that was going to happen with Order 66 when executed, but it just doesn't seem like a great idea where they had the kids in the first place.
Yeah, dude, for real. Like, maybe you shouldn't kidnap kids to go train to be emotionless soldiers, which is a whole different.
Yeah.
Right. Well, also, no one asked, hey, where did this fucking clone army come from randomly? I mean, there's a lot of things like the Jedi did wrong, or the neoliberals. Yeah. But the one thing I want to say, too, the last thing I want to say on like the whole issue of like Rome and all this other shit is like, so all these places had underlying issues, right? And when Rome eventually became an empire, it fell as an empire because the fundamental issue was that it expanded too much. And that was the problem, right?
Right.
So, but the point is, you know, the Gracchi, the fundamental issue was the corruption. And the plebeians weren't being represented, right? In the Star Wars Revenge of the Sith and episode 1, 2, and 3, it was that the Jedi had become too ingrained in politics and there was war going on and people were in corruption. Because remember, even in episode 1, they talked about like the corruption in the Senate. So people were tired of it, right? Mm-hmm. So here, the two things we have are systemic racism, historical systemic racism. And the second thing is the income inequality. So in a way, you could say like Bernie is kind of like the Gracchi, like the guy who's trying to like warn everyone before it's too late. Hey, fix it or it's going to be worse, you know, and they're not listening to them, right? And even with the protests, they're like, we're not going to accept their systemic racism because that means like some of us in some way are privileged, and that's just bullshit because that's not what Ayn Rand teaches. And it's like, okay, fair, you know, fair point. But eventually someone's going to come along like a Caesar, and one thing too, who's going to manipulate that, but one thing too is a lot of times we're prisoners of the moment Trump could just be the first domino. Like, he could be Marius. And we haven't yet seen our Sulla. We haven't yet seen our Caesar and then our Augustus Caesar. So, you know, we're talking about a guy who's 73, 74. Clearly, he's, you know, a couple blocks north of sane and a few blocks east of ethical. So, I mean, he may do one more term. Who knows? But he's not – I don't think he's going to be a guy that's going to bring this all down. I think he's going to kind of make it okay like right. Marius did. And someone and much smarter than him will do it.
Exactly. No, I think that's actually a really great point you bring up. I mean, this idea that Trump's the end game for, you know, whatever you want to call it, fascism in America or authoritarianism at its finest. Like, he doesn't have enough time left in the, you know, on the clock to be able to do that. I mean, it's just
the old orange clock. Yeah.
Right. Which, I mean, I guess that's the benefit to having two guys in their 70s run for president, right? They can only be there for so long. That being said, who, you know, and I guess this is what makes it a little different from episode 3 and how the Star Wars saga truly plays out, but it's like, you know, Anakin doesn't really necessarily inspire someone so much to really run the whole entire empire. Like, it's always Palpatine, whereas Trump is going to inspire the guy who's smart enough to do it.
Yes. You just know? Like Marius did.
It's like, you know, just to throw my music knowledge in here, because I have nothing else to contribute in life. It's like the Sex Pistols, where the Sex Pistols, you know, really are the ones to kick off punk as we know it, on like a mainstream level at least, right? And it's Sex Pistols are essentially known as like the worst. Like, they're not a good punk band. Like, they're just not talented, but they made the noise, and then followed. Now you have real punk bands that come that took the formula and have done proper punk music. So Anakin is just like Anakin stays there, whereas Trump is like just pushing for the future generation. Not by what he's doing, but like, he's not purposely doing
it. I love that basically we're all in agreement that even though Anakin was the fucking chosen one, he was basically a wet blanket who was just there to facilitate other people's desires.
Right.
Which I think is pretty accurate. It was literally only in the last moments of his life that he did anything worthwhile. Otherwise he was just whining the whole time. But I was just going to say, like, earlier, you know, so obviously we are in episode 3 right now. We're past episode 2. We're in episode 3. Shit's starting to happen. We're not at war per se, but we're kind of having like a internal conflict right now and in the United States. And so it looks like we're in episode 3. But who is the Jedi in our situation? And I would venture to guess. My take is this. Is the Jedi are the fucking Democratic Party. They're the neo-libs. And I know that's like offensive to people who love the Jedi, but you need to take a second look at what you think about the Jedi. There's really two different types of Jedi. There's the Jedi, the mainstream Jedi who run the Jedi Council. It's Yoda and, you know, Mace Windu and all these guys. Mace Windu is cool, but he's still part of the problem, which is like, there's a really good video and I'll drop it in the link. I forget who did it. I'll drop it in the description. But he kind of broke down why the Jedi are actually like really fucked up and their worldview is pretty terrible. And one of them is, you know, that like men should be suppressing all their feelings and just kind of like not have any attachments. And that's like a really superficial, poor reading of like Eastern mythology that George Lucas tried to graft onto the Jedi, which was like, I like a lot about George Lucas, but that was not correct. Like, just not caring about people was not what anybody thinks is inaccurate, is a good way to live your life. And so like the Jedi trying to teach, you know, there's scenes where Anakin is sitting there saying, I'm worried about my mom. And then Yoda's like, well, that's your problem right there. You know, like, don't fucking care about your mom and you'll be fine.
Which like, it like, shows you too, the disconnect. It shows you like, that's why I think the Jedi's and the Democrats are so, you know, hand in hand.
Right.
Because it shows you this disconnect was like, well, we've been away from our families for so long. We're in this DC bubble, essentially, you know, they are
right.
They just sit around in a fucking council all day talking to each other and they don't talk to the fucking people who are living under oppression in the empire. Even, you know, and I know this isn't episode 3, but for example, when they go to rescue Anakin, it's like, let's save this one chosen slave and let's wheel and deal. We couldn't even get his mother out of it too, you know?
Yeah, right. Despite the fact that we have like unlimited power. Because we have the fucking Force.
Right.
We're gonna randomly kind of decide when and how we want to use that power in a way that isn't necessarily consistent with any kind of progressive values. It's just going to kind of be, and this is really why I say they're neoliberal more than anything, is that their job primarily seems to be using power to maintain the status quo. And that's what neoliberalism is, right? It's a reactionary form of politics in a lot of ways. And it's just this idea that your only job is to kind of stop things from changing.
Right.
Right. And like that's, I mean, of course, that's not necessarily how you define neoliberalism, but it is in the United States because we have a neoliberal government. And so kind of, right, we have a borderline conservative slash neoliberal government, which basically to people who don't know these like ridiculous phrases and how they differ, is just like conservatism is the idea of like deregulate as much as possible and let the market do its thing. And like, let's also embrace like using government authority should only be for enforcing social norms that we believe in. And then neoliberalism is more about like, let's give a little bit more individual freedom, but we're still going to maintain capitalism. We're just going to regulate it maybe a little bit more. But there's way more to it that I'm leaving out. But the idea is they're almost like gradients of the same kind of ideology.
Right.
And on the whole, when you get a neoliberal or you get a conservative, kind of the idea, the neoliberal ideology is exactly what the Democratic Party is. Right. When you hear progressives complaining about the Democrats or leftists complaining about the Democrats, what they're saying is we don't like them because they represent this like very pro-business, pro like status quo kind of ideology of like, don't rock the boat. We just want to kind of like fucking get through this shit and not change anything right. as best as we can.
Right.
That's exactly what the Jedi do. They maintain status quo with force if necessary, which is exactly what we see happening right now with all the protests. It's like, hey, you're rocking the boat. So like even like a lot of like you hear Joe Biden like out there saying like, I'm not, you know, of course, like I'm in favor of protesting, but not, you know, rioting isn't protesting. Well, that's not accurate compared to like all of human history, but say what you will, right? Like, you know, any protest is not like by definition, it's now like you're kind of operating outside of the normal democratic process. That'd be debated. A lot of people think it's a fundamental part of democracy. But when democracy's kind of like voting and representative government doesn't do its job, you have protesting. And throughout the course of human history, protesting has been something that isn't really contained in your nice little box that make you feel comfortable about, like Martin Luther King peacefully walking down the street. Although, of course, when people reference that example, Martin Luther King and his friends got arrested and beaten, just like you see happening now.
Right.
So there's no peace in any of these protests. And you see Joe Biden coming out and just kind of like wagging his finger at it.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what the Jedi do. Although, you know, the idea is the Jedi are more like the cops. They're like the galactic police.
Yeah, I was going to say maybe that's kind of like the CIA, right?
Government special
enforcers who are kind of behind the scenes, but they're there to maintain the status quo. Like
the deep state.
The Jedi do kind of support democracy in a sense because they don't want Palpatine to take over and just become the dictator. But aside from that, they're trying to just maintain the status quo of the government and fulfill the government's wishes. Like they definitely bow down to the will of the Senate.
I am the Senate.
Like they say numerous points. They reference like trying to maintain order and protect the interests of the government.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, I think, and that's a really good point. And that actually kind of like reinforces this analogy we're trying to make between them is like, yeah, even if they are like the CIA, maybe that's perfect analogy too, because you see Trump out there currently trying to demonize the intelligence community. Right. And I think there's plenty to demonize them for, just like I think there's plenty to demonize the Jedi for. But if you get really nerdy about Star Wars, by the way, which I think we're all at that level, I was really into the video games when I was a kid. And there's the Knights of the Old Republic game. Not even why did I say when I was a kid, I played it like a year ago. And anyway, there's like all this like alternative school of thought about the Jedi that you run into and you like talk to citizens in the different towns. And like, they're not all great in the eyes of like every citizen, right? They're not unambiguously good. Like they present themselves to be in the movies. They're actually quite flawed. And what's cool is you see that alternative vision of like, well, okay, if the Jedi are neoliberals and then of course, Palpatine, and you see who the QAnon / right wingers are in the movie quite clearly, then who kind of represents like the progressive / the leftists, like the people like who really want to make progressive change. And I think that that in the Star Wars saga is represented, in my opinion, is represented primarily through, of course, the protagonists of the original trilogy. Like Luke Skywalker comes from a school of thought that is more like anti-authoritarian, not deferential to authority, does what they think is right based on like kind of just basic moral principles as opposed to rigid dogma. Right. And so you see that it is originated in Qui-Gon Jinn, although he has baggage. But then you see he passes that school of thought on to Obi-Wan Kenobi, who then passes it on to Luke Skywalker, who then passes it on to Rey. And then you see this kind of like they're not like typical Jedi. They're divergent in the sense that they question the Jedi's priority of dogma and rigidity and deference to authority. And they say, fuck authority. Like, we need to do the right thing here. And so in that sense, they're very much like kind of this like libertarian left type of strand of people who want to like rid people of authoritarianism and rid people and actually just do like what's fucking right. And that's a really cool thing. And so who's that here? Obviously, my point is Bernie Sanders is Luke Skywalker. That's what I'm getting at.
Yeah, I think that that's a good point you bring up, how not everyone is on board for the Jedi, which I do think to some degree, even though it's so much about good and evil, so it's a little different than real world, it's to some degree,
right.
If all these planets love the Jedi, the Resistance wouldn't have taken 9 movies, you know, we could have just fished that all up and like the first one, and it never would have been a problem because they would have trusted the Jedi enough. People wouldn't have been making backdoor deals with the Empire, you know.
Yeah. And I think that, like, you know, if we're going to ride this analogy real quick, maybe Bernie is more like Obi-Wan Kenobi, and I don't know who Luke Skywalker is yet. Luke Skywalker is AOC. Pretty cool in the saga. But AOC might be Luke Skywalker in this analogy, yes, for sure.
Possibly.
I think so. Or she's Rey. I don't know, but I'm not just saying that for the.
No, I think Rey is yet to be around yet. Rey is going to be whoever the first Marxist.
We're not there yet.
The first like Marxist, no class in the world politician. Yeah. That'll be Rey.
Yeah. And then AOC is going to look at her like, I've never seen a Jedi this powerful.
Yeah. And then have like issues with it because it's like, you know, she's a democratic socialist and Rey is a straight up Marxist.
And Rey just straight up Marxist is like, you can't talk about a truly classless.
And by the way, she's going to end up having that weird like connection, falling in love with a Proud Boy. And then the Proud Boy is going to go to the side of.
Where is Padme?
It seems in your anger, you killed her.
Let's go ahead and stick with episode 3 for just a second. We kind of touched on this just really briefly. Obi-Wan Kenobi. Is that Bernie Sanders or is that someone else?
I was going to say, I think that's Hillary Clinton.
No.
What? No. Obi-Wan, that's a bad take.
No.
It's Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Yeah, it's Obi-Wan
Kenobi. He's the predecessor of AOC.
Maybe Mace Windu is Hillary Clinton.
Maybe Hillary Clinton is Palpatine.
Killary.
Listen, Obi-Wan.
Killary.
Yeah, listen, Obi-Wan has a lot of bodies on him, all right? He's done a lot of bad decisions. Obi-Wan plays by the rule book. So you're right. Well, God, he's not. Listen, Qui-Gon Jinn is Joe Biden.
Wow.
Guys, you know Qui-Gon lightsaber battled a dude named Corn Pop.
What?
You know, yeah, Qui-Gon fought Corn Pop. I just think, though, for real, like the whole Obi-Wan Kenobi thing, what has Obi-Wan done to show that he's done anything great? A matter of fact, he even pushed back about Anakin. He was so anti-Anakin. He was anti-freeing a slave. If that's not fucking Hillary Clinton, I don't know what it is.
Wow.
Well, okay, hold on. I'm going to lend some credence to this. There are two Obi-Wans. We're talking about Obi-Wans during the Clone Wars, yes, okay? Although, first of all, Obi-Wan had a great personality, which Hillary didn't have. Let me put it this way. Obi-Wan would have campaigned in Michigan and Wisconsin. Oh, shots fired. But let me just say this, though. Obi-Wan in the desert, who had learned his lesson and was protecting Luke and preparing for the future, wise Obi-Wan, is Bernie Sanders.
Yeah, well, yeah.
We can't listen for episode three. I
think that's true.
Episode three. I'm saying Obi-Wan is Hillary in episode three. I don't care, that's man.
Possible. Shit.
Or Obama. That sucks. Or Obama.
Or Obama. Listen, I think for real. I don't know why you guys are pushing back in episode three of Obi-Wan being Hillary.
No, you're right. You're right. I just have too much good. I like Ewan McGregor, man. That's my bias. He's a good singer.
Listen, I think Obi-Wan. You know, I love him, and
he's got
I don't.
Some pipes.
I don't. Does he really?
Oh, dude, Ewan McGregor. Have you heard him sing?
Mm-hmm.
Dude, beautiful voice. I'll send you a link. Yeah, I'll drop it in the description.
Please. Oh, wait.
Very fucking. What are the best songs of all time? Hey. What are you talking about? It's in the goddamn movie.
Steve, we didn't do our unofficial sponsor for the episode.
Oh, yeah. Who did not sponsor us, but we're going to pretend did?
This episode could have been, but wasn't officially, but unofficially.
It will never be.
Sponsored by the Optium Power Master Ball.
Quick commercial break. So tell us about this. You know, I'm really intrigued, but I'm looking at the picture right now and it looks a lot like a Death Star.
Yes, it's a sex toy that looks like a Death Star that apparently has nothing in common with Star Wars. Like, it's not meant to be a Death Star.
Dick Star.
Yes, the Dick Star, if you will. It has pressure sensitive pads and it squeezes your shaft three ways for superior stimulation. 10 vibration modes. Get wet and wild in the shower or tub because it's waterproof.
Get wet and wild for real.
The point is, it looks awesome. Yeah, it looks like a Death Star. It looks like a drone. It looks like a lot of things from Star Wars.
Yeah, it looks like that drone that like tortures Princess Leia. It's that shape. And it literally looks like if you picture the Death Star.
We're definitely going to link this.
Oh, crap, yeah. Guys. Darth Absurdius has to, my thing is dying. I got to peace out.
Is it because of the dick talk?
I think Darth Absurdius is about to buy one of these master balls.
Yeah, I think he just got horny. Before you go, I got to get one impression from you. I'm going to drop the quote in the chat box at the bottom. Okay, now you see it. This is I sent two. Read both. You'll see the first one is Jar Jar Binks and the second one is Palpatine.
Okay. Dello Felagats. See, Trump is more like Jar Jar and Palpatine is Putin, but okay, that's my take.
No, that's a good take. That I like that.
Dello,
okay, go Felagats. For it.
Misa proposa building a grand army of the Republic without checking to see like where it came from or who funded it. Kersha, these are no good moi moi separatists because, you know, George Lucas is super racist and he loves those caricatures, or he's just like, you know, whatever.
That was good. Now give us Palpatine, starting with in order to ensure.
So I do a better,
and then you're off the
I
hook.
Do a better Darth Sidious Palpatine, but I'll try the British regular Palpatine, okay?
Either one. Right. Do your thing.
I love democracy. In order to ensure our security and continuing stability, the Republic will be reorganized into the First Galactic Empire.
Thank you very much.
For a safe,
Darth Absurdius.
You interrupted me. Oh. Now you will experience the full power of the dark side. No, in order to ensure a safe and secure society. By the way, Anakin, don't forget to kill all the younglings. All right. Shout out to Obi-Wan. Boner Obi. That didn't work.
You tried. But we really do appreciate
No, that's, shout out. Hey, I just want to shout out to my two favorite news channels, CNN, the Clinton News Network, and MSDNC. Keep spitting that propaganda. And I'll holler at you proud peoples later.
All right. Hey,
thank you.
Cool.
Thank you so much.
In order to ensure the security and continuing stability, the Republic will be reorganized into the First Galactic Empire for a safe and secure society.